Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus renounced his privileges and humbled himself to the point of permitting his own death. Unless we do the same, we will never reach the lost floating on the sea of relativism around us. Today, more about what it means to take the cross into the world. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is in Philippians chapter 2, explaining how the appearance of Jesus in the world of men runs counter to all other religions.
You know, the contrast with other religions is explosive. In other religions, you have many instances of somebody who's a man who wants to be God. In fact, we have people on earth like that. You know, there is that story of a woman who speaks at Bible conferences. She got onto a plane and she was going through her briefcase and checking some, and the woman next to her said, who do you work for? And she said, not knowing exactly who to say, she said, God. And the other woman says, yeah, I work for a guy like that too. We have lots of people who want to be God, and the Romans, they took an emperor and they said, let's call him God. I know of no religion in history. Many religions where a man aspires to be God, but no religion where God aspires to be a man. And that's what happened in Christianity. Imagine that in the appearance of a man, unrecognized, the appearance of God to the appearance of a man. There's another way to describe that, and that is to say that it involves a change of roles from victor to victim, from victor to victim. Notice it says, last part of verse 8, he was obedient, and by the way, there he is in heaven always giving orders. Now he's on earth and he has to take them. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There are many ways to die, many ways to be put to death. You can be stoned, but to be stoned, you keep your clothes on. Rock hits you, you finally fall over. They throw a few more on you, and you're gone. That's a possibility. Crucifixion was reserved as the nasty, cruel way to do it. It's not only cruel physically to hang on the cross and to have to endure that, it was also cruel emotionally and spiritually because it was so shameful, usually crucified naked, gawking. Today people say, well, you know, I want to die with dignity. This was not death with any kind of a dignity. In fact, it says in the scripture, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. Therefore, it was an awful way to die. I mean, we're talking about blood. We're talking about smells. We're talking about shame. And that, my friend, is Jesus, Son of God, King, Lord. Can you believe it? Jesus went from victor to victim. Can you imagine on that day what happened? He is the one, you know, who limits Satan and gives Satan the parameters and tells Satan what he can and can't do. Satan is always subject to God. But on that day, Jesus said, I'm going to let you be in control so far as this is concerned. Can you imagine Jesus Christ staring in the very face of evil on that day and saying, today you win. Go ahead, do it. When he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he lays aside his rights, he lays aside his glory, he lets it all pass, and what he says is, I am willing to do even that. Get it done. And he's King, and he's God, and he's Lord. What are some of the clear implications of what it means for us to live out the cross? I think of two. First of all, of course, This great reversal of values reminds us that God's way up is down. God values humility. He values humility. Where do you see that today? Where do you see the surrender of our rights? Where do you see that kind of humility that says, yes, I wouldn't have to do it, but for you, I will? Where does it exist? That gets to the heart of what Nietzsche was talking about, that if we want people to believe in our Redeemer, we're going to have to act redeemed. We're going to have to act like Christ, and we find it hard to do it. Augustine, the great theologian and philosopher, said that God has humbled himself, and yet man is proud. It's proud. What a commentary. And we have a lot more to be humble about than Jesus did. He had a perfect human nature. We're sinners. We're sinners. We have very little to be proud about. Actually, more accurately, nothing to be proud about. You did hear about the person who went to see a counselor and said, you know, the older I get, the more humble I'm becoming. And the counselor said, that's good, because you have an awful lot to be humble about. Here we're talking about us as sinners. And we are proud. And God became humble. Why did Paul write this letter? Did he say, well, you know, I think that there are some seminarians who need some topics for dissertations. And, you know, they're running out of things to teach over in the seminary, so I'm going to give them a passage that they can chew on for a while. Is that the implication? No. Look at why he gave it to us. He needed an illustration. Every preacher needs an illustration. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was in Jesus Christ. And that's why he wrote the passage. Because he said, what I want you to do is to have the same sense of giving. I want you to see such a reversal of values that it absolutely flies into the face of what the world is all about. The world is always trying to climb the ladder, and you're going to have to take the chute down. The world is always saying to itself, what I want to do is to advance. I want to control. I want to be master. I don't want to be servant. Christ comes along and says, do you want to be like me? Then be a servant and have the good of others ahead of your own. Do you think that's hard? Hard. I think it's almost impossible apart from the deep work of the cross in our hearts. It is absolutely impossible. Illustration. Promise keepers. 43,000 pastors in Atlanta. We're spending all day worshiping God. We hear a message on the filling of the Spirit. We all pray that God will fill us with the Spirit. We're almost ready to burst. We feel as if we could fly. It's evening time now, and it's time to go back to the hotel, so we get on to the Metra in Atlanta. We're singing choruses in the subway. The whole place is ringing. Everybody that's walking by is hearing hundreds and hundreds of men crowded together all sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Marvelous. We get into a Metra car and we go along and we come to the major station where all of these Metra cars come, and it is there where the various hotels have buses or vans, rather, to pick up people to take them to the hotel. It is cold, even in Atlanta at night. Wind is blowing there, and some of us thought that that was the south, and we were misled. We thought that it was supposed to be warm. There aren't enough vans. One comes every few minutes. You've got 100 men all wanting to get under the same van. Now, mind you, let's review as to who they are. Pastors who go to heaven every evening and come back in the morning. Pastors who have just been newly filled with the Spirit. Pastors just singing the wonders of Jesus on the subway to make the rafters vibrate. And we all scramble for those vans as if our lives depended on it. your pastor included. My excuse was that I had a cold. I did, didn't I, Daryl? And I didn't have a hat, and I just hate cold air blowing when I have a cold. That was my excuse. Daryl was with me. He's one of the most unselfish men I have ever met. How in the world he got under the same van as I did, I don't know. I remember getting on the van and I just felt so smitten in my spirit. I said to everybody, I said, well, whatever the filling of the spirit means, it certainly doesn't mean that we should esteem others better than ourselves. And I thought to myself, you know, those guys who came by to pick up pastors on the vans, they didn't see anything much different than they'd have seen if they'd have been picking up people who just came from some kind of a marketing convention. Maybe a little different, because we laughed at our selfishness, but that was about all. How would you live if you esteemed others better than yourself? The van should have pulled up and nobody should have gotten on. We should have just stood there and say, we just can't go first. I can't go first. I can't go first. I can't go first. You know, come 11 o'clock, well, okay, since you're older, we'll put you on. That troubled me because above all, we who preach on the cross and who believe in the deep work of the Spirit, we should have been the first to say, you go and we'll wait.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course, I know what is on your mind. It is the election. And this might come as a surprise to you, but this will be the first time that I have ever voted in the United States. And the reason is because I was a Canadian citizen until 2 years ago. So I look very much forward to casting my ballot, and I hope that you cast yours as well. Plan to vote. But having said that, with the message that I have just preached still ringing in our ears, let me remind you that the way in which we can authentically communicate the Christian faith is to become a servant to others. What a passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter 2, that I was using as the basis for my message. What an example Jesus was. No man who has ever been so high stooped so low. Can you and I do otherwise? If the political candidate that we want to see elected doesn't get into office, we'll keep doing what we are always called to do, namely representing Jesus Christ in our society with humility and with faith.
Erwin Lutzer has brought part 3 of The Cross, Our Challenge Before a Watching World, the last message in a series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Next time, our series concludes. In sorting out how to mix faith and politics, we all need some clear teaching. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.